A little burden on my heart is all things are become new. All things are become new. That comes from the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So I'd like to ask you to turn with me. We'll read those few verses beginning with verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Let's think about that for just a moment. The love of Christ causes me to be squeezed, if you will. It causes me to be molded, shaped, if you will. Because I figured this out. And I have come to the understanding, not just because I've been taught, but because I've experienced it for myself, that if one died for all, then that automatically means that all were dead. If he had to die in my place, if one died for me, then I was dead without that hope of him being willing to die in my place. So because I experienced that, because I now understand that, it causes me to feel that I am constrained then, that I need to turn around and be thankful for the one who was willing to pay a price I couldn't pay. And the love of Christ constrains me, squeezes me, causes me to be put into a place where I understand that if he died for me, then I was dead. And I had no hope. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. If a man is facing death, if a man has a situation before him where he knows that is nothing next except impending death, a drowning man, let's just say a drowning man, he knows that he has no, his last efforts have been given to keep himself above water. He can no longer maintain his head above water. He cannot take another breath. He's not capable, not able to hold himself any longer. And suddenly he feels a touch. Maybe it's a rope line. Maybe it's another human hand. He feels a touch. And with that touch comes, maybe there is a hope here. And he is able to grasp whatever it may be and is pulled to safety. He knows that without that effort being extended to him, his hope is gone, his life is extinguished. But suddenly there is that lifeline that is extended. And he feels that's been handed to him. Now, what does he do? Does he just go away and forget that? I say that very likely he carries that moment with him through life. Now, I realize that the farther removed we are from a crisis, the easier it is for us to forget the events of the crisis. The farther we are removed from a drastic event, the easier it is for us to remember all of the things that happened during that time. That's humanity. But we do well to go back and visit those places where the Lord has been merciful to us and helped us. And this says, wherefore, and that he died for all, that they which live should not live to themselves. That since Christ died for me, offered me that lifeline, then I have no reason to live for myself, but I live for the one that died for me and that rose again. So he's saying, I feel these things, I understand these things, and I feel squeezed about it because I feel that I have a responsibility and an obligation to do the right thing for that one that did something for me that no one else could do. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. In other words, we don't put our confidence in any human being. We realize that they are fallible. We realize that they're not capable. They're not able to really save us from things. We realize that our only hope is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he said, we did know Christ after the flesh. The Apostle Paul was part of the Israelite nation. He was a Hebrew. And he had the idea, he had the opinion, he had the teaching that there would come a Messiah one day who would deliver the Israelite nation, the Hebrews, from their oppressors. He had that mindset. That's what they believed. That's what they looked for. That's why, that's one of the reasons why they missed who the Messiah really was. The Apostle Paul is saying here, I knew him. I once had this hope. I once had this idea that he was going to come and deliver our nation from the Roman bondage, and he would set up a kingdom and we would be part of that kingdom. But I have since found out that that's not how this is going to work. I have since found out that that's not how it works. I don't know him that way anymore. I have come to find out that he is a king over the things of my life and of my heart. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, because of all of these things, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I want to ask you a question. Ponder this in your mind. Are you a new creature? Are you a new creature? Have we moved on deeper in the things of the Lord, or have we made decision to go back to the beggarly elements of the world? The choice is ours to make. If we have chosen to go back to the beggarly elements of the world, then we have deemed it in our own lives and come to the conclusion in our own lives that it wasn't necessary for me to have one die for me. That I'm okay by myself. I can handle it. I can do it. Book of Colossians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Hear this advice. Hear this counsel that comes from the Apostle Paul under the unction of the Holy Spirit, speaking and writing things down so that you and I can benefit from it. And this is what he is saying. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. There are things, folks, that you and I must do, must put out of our lives, must eliminate in order for us to have all things new. If I am a child of God, the catalog of things that we're about to read should have no part in my life. Amen. If I am a child of God, these things that we're about to read, and I'm going to read these and I'm going to give definition for them, they have no business being incorporated in any part of my life. The first, fornication. Oh, don't beat that hobby horse, preacher. The Greek word for fornication is porneia. I'm not going to try to name all the things that fall under that category. You know what they are. Every type of deviant behavior and thought and mindset that humanity is able to come up with falls under that category of fornication. It is specifically worded here, fornication. But that Greek root word is porneia, and it means so many different things. I'm not going to try to delineate those because of propriety. But I want us to consider, look at the way that humanity has gone. Look at the direction humanity has taken in order to find gratification, satisfaction, and fulfillment. And I wonder, will they stop at anything in order to fulfill this base desire that is in the hearts and minds? Mortify these things. Mortify fornication. Mortify uncleanness. Uncleanness, Thayer's definition says, in a moral sense, the impurity of lustful, luxurious, profligate, or lost to principle, virtue or decency, lost to profligate living. In a moral sense, impurity, mortify uncleanness. Mortify, in a moral sense, impurity of lustful, luxurious, profligate living. Put that away. Put it aside. It's empty and it's vain. It is not going to accomplish the purpose that we designed for it to accomplish if we hope to have peace in our lives. The only way that I'm going to find peace in my life is to have Christ in me, the hope of glory, to come to the realization that the Apostle Paul did, that because one died for all, then all were dead. I had no hope. I had no lifeline. I was sinking. I had taken my last breath. I had no way to revive myself. I had no way to push and come up for another air. All of my strength had been expended. All of my efforts had been expended. All of my efforts had failed. And now I am dead. There is nothing else that I can do but through miraculous intervention. Praise the Lord. He sent a lifeline. So because of those things, then I don't want to live to myself anymore. I want to live for, I am constrained to live for that one who rescued me. If you have been rescued today from a life of sin, remember, these things must be put away. All things pass away. All things must become new. I feel the Lord has spoken to me some. Over the years, you've heard me take as a pastor, trying to present to you things that would be encouraging, things that would foster growth, things that would be enlightening. And lately I felt the Lord visiting me about things to give of warning. Get down into our hearts and lives. Get down in there where the enemy works and tries to steal and kill and destroy. Get down in there. We talked about recently adultery and how damaging that thing is to the hearts and lives of individuals, to children. Those are things that hurt people, the folks. These things that the Apostle Paul has listed here in Colossians hurt people. They don't just hurt me. You look at that one fornication and think of the directions all of that can go, how much it hurts people. We had divided Sunday school class this morning with the adults. I'm not sure all the things that were gone over in the ladies' class, but I know some of the things that we went over in the men's class. Those things that fall under the category of that one word, fornication and porneia, are so damaging to our society, and I don't know how far out it can possibly run. Inordinate affection. Mortify inordinate affection. Unnatural and degrading passion. Inordinate affection. Unnatural and degrading passion. Depraved passion. Thayer's definition, depraved passion. Vile passion. Put away evil concupiscence. Mortify it. The desire, craving, longing, desire for what is forbidden, lust. Folks, that is the way of the human heart that has not been converted. Desire for what is forbidden. That is what the enemy presented to Eve there in the garden. Has God said that you can't eat of all the fruits of the tree of the garden? Oh, we can eat of the fruit. We can eat of all of it except this one. Well, has He said that you can't eat of this one? No, we're not supposed to eat of that. We're not even supposed to touch it lest we die. Oh, you'll not surely die. Surely you won't die. You're not going to die. He knows that if you partake of that fruit, then your eyes will be open and you'll be like Him. And He's trying to withhold from you. Don't you understand? Don't you see that this God, that all of this that you have around you, and He says, don't touch this? Come on. This one thing? Why would He put you in a place like this and say to you, you can't touch this? That's unfair. It's not right. Well, you know, I look at... It does have some good qualities about it. And it is a tree to be desired to make one wise, and If I just, in my want to, reach out and partake. You see where it goes, folks? My want to. Longing, desire for what is forbidden. It has to be mortified. If the love of Christ constrains me, if I feel constrained because of what He has done for me, then I must mortify those things in this catalog. And may God help us to do that. Mortify all of these things. Evil concupiscence, desire for what is forbidden, covetousness, which is idolatry. The greedy desire to have more, more, more. Scripture says, be content with such things as you have. The Scripture tells me that the Apostle Paul, we talked about it Wednesday night, he said, I've learned how to abound and I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to have all and I've learned how to have nothing. I have learned with all these things, I need to be content. May God help us to learn the same lessons, to be able to, as we go through life, and whether we have little or whether we have much, to learn how to manage both of those ends and to be content wherever it is that the Lord has allowed us to be. Verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. More things to put off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. There is work that you and I have to do, folks. There are things every day that I find the enemy of my soul pushing hard against me. We've prayed for the Lord to increase headwinds on certain things that we have that's been proposed in our community. Do we not know, folks, that the enemy of our souls has strong headwinds against us for trying to do right things in our lives? Strong headwinds. Do you not experience those headwinds? I certainly do experience those headwinds. On a very regular basis, the enemy of my soul does everything that he can possibly do to steal and to kill and to destroy. He does everything that he can to bring temptation, to cause me to step back from those things, those principles that I have understood, that if one died for all, then all were dead. He wants to cause me to step back from that and forget some of those things. He wants to cause me to be removed, farther removed I am from the time when I realize the Lord saved my soul. He wants me to be far enough removed from that that I forget how intense that moment was. That I don't remember how much it meant to me at that time. And I realize that we can't fully understand it at the moment. But as we grow in life, as we prosper in the things of the Lord, we find that those things that God has done for us mean so much more. Not just to the mind, but to the heart. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 43. Some very good counsel from the mouth of the Master. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he, the unclean spirit, walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. I'm going to go back by and check things out, see what it's like there. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Well, in one way, I'm glad it's empty. It hadn't been filled up with all these other evil things yet, but it hasn't been filled with the things of God either. It's been left empty. They haven't taken the time to fill the mind, fill the heart, fill the soul with those things from the Lord and realize and recognize how precious it is that He was willing to die for me. Folks, I'd like to share with you. On Wednesday evenings when we have prayer meeting service, if everybody in the room stood up and said, I am thankful that God saved my soul. I am thankful that He helped me when I was in desperate need. That He saved me He saved me from a life of sin, and He put me on a path toward heaven. And I'm doing everything I know to do to follow that path. That would be a glorious meeting for us to have. If everyone in the building could stand up and say, I thank the Lord that He saved my soul. It is an acknowledgement before God of what His power is and what He can do and what He has done. It is giving glory and praise and honor to the one, the only one who is able. But instead, we allow things such as fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, to bid. They knock on the heart's door. Give me some consideration. Give me some room. Give me a little place. And before we know it, folks, we find that room is empty and swept and garnished. It's not been filled with the things of the Lord. It's not been satisfied. Longings of the heart haven't really felt that close relationship with God. And the Scripture tells us, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. May God have mercy on our souls. May He help us to see that in everything that we do in life, there are things, folks, that you and I must put off. We must put them off. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You've heard me say there was a time in my life when I served the Lord because I had a fear of going to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. I don't think anyone wants to go to hell. But I tried to serve the Lord because there was a fear in my mind of going to hell, and I didn't want to be burning in hell. I've read the account of the rich man and Lazarus. Please send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and get a drop of water on the end of his finger so he can cool my tongue, because I'm tormented in this flame. And I didn't want any part of that. And you don't want any part of that. Nobody wants any part of that. And I believe the Lord wants us to have that in our minds, that we don't want to have that. We don't want that to be our end. But it's not as far as it goes. There was a time when all I did was serve the Lord because of the fear of going to hell. But now I try to make valiant effort to serve Him because He died for me. He brought salvation. And I try to make a valiant effort to serve Him because I love Him. And the Scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. And I didn't understand all of those things. I couldn't understand all of those things. I couldn't process all of that. I didn't understand, realize what all of those things meant. But the longer that we serve the Lord, the longer that we walk in that path, we find more and more benefits far beyond the loaves and the fishes. Far beyond. Jesus talked to the disciples. He said, when the crowd, the multitude, after He'd fed the 5,000, they were hungry. They'd been with Him all day. They sat down and He fed them all, and they were looking for Him at even. He was gone. He went across the other side of the lake. And when the next morning came, they hunted for Him. They couldn't find Him. When they finally did catch up with Him, they said, "Where'd you go? When did you come over here?" And He said, listen to these words from the mouth of the Master. You don't seek me because of the miracles. You seek me because your belly was growling and you knew I could feed you. You seek me because of the loaves and the fishes, and you were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat that leads to life everlasting. Don't labor for things that are going to gratify for a moment. Don't labor for those things that are going to satisfy for the instant. Labor for those things that are going to carry us all the way to eternity and through eternity, as if there is a through. in eternity, but carry us into eternity, to get us inside the heaven that God has designed and prepared for us, to do all that we can while we're here, to realize that I must serve the Lord, not because of the benefits that I receive from Him, not just because He's been good to me, but I serve Him because I know that He loves me and I have learned to love Him. I have learned that when I get into those dark places, the valley of the shadow of death, where it looks as though there is impending doom, where it looks as though I've breathed my last, where it looks as though I can't go any farther, where it looks as though one more step and I'm doomed, that He has proven Himself to be the lifeline. Wherefore, mortify your members which are on the earth. Put away these things so you can be beneficiaries of the things that the Lord wants to impart to us. He says, put away these things. The Apostle Paul, mortify these members. Mortify these things. Put them to death. Get rid of them so you can have the real benefits that I want to bestow on you. We've sung a song before. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. I hope that you have found it to be that way in your own life. I hope that you have found it to be that way in your walk with the Lord. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. It's not just about do's and don'ts. It's not just about commands and thou shalt and thou shalt not. It's not just about those kinds of things. There are specific things the Scriptures tell us that we should and should not do. But the heart that is bent to serve the Lord will find a way to do what's right. The heart that is bent to serve His own will and His own way will find a way to do what He wants to do. He will find a way. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. May God help me, help you, help us all to have that new life. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. You pray for me. Amen.